Welcome to In Perspective. I am Bob Branco. With me, of course, my regular co-host, Alan Hensel. Good morning, Alan.
Hi, Bob. How are you this fine summer morning?
I'm doing well as ever.
Great.
A little disappointed, obviously, that it rained yesterday and I couldn't go with my fiance to the Whaling City Festival. We were supposed to work there last night, but the weather prohibited us from doing that.
Now, because I'm so... I love meteorological events, Bob. Question for you. Do you know how much rain the New Bedford area received in yesterday's torrential downpour?
It was predicted that we could have gotten 1 to 2 inches, but I don't know for sure what exactly we got. So
yeah, there were
I don't know how to answer that question.
My wife informed me this morning there were some parts of the Cape that got up to 4 inches of rain over a 90-minute period of time, Bob.
That's quite possible.
That's as much rain as typically as one area, one location in this area would get all summer long.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So.
I do want to send a shout out to our friends over at CJoy Internet Radio who are listening to our program, as well as those people who are listening to us on the Talking Information Center's radio reading service. Hello, everyone. I have been discussing with you, Alan, and others, the rapidness of commercial disclaimers on the radio. The last few seconds of a commercial, most of you understand what I'm talking about, that oftentimes there's about 15 seconds worth of gibberish. The person goes a mile a minute, and it drives me crazy, as I'm sure it drives you crazy. And I learned later on that the reason for this is because the advertiser wants to put in a disclaimer as part of the commercial ad. Well, Alan and I have different viewpoints on this. I'm going to express my viewpoint first, and then, Al, you can chime in with yours, and then the listeners can comment if they want to by writing us. In my opinion, if I have to include a disclaimer in my ad in order to tell the public what I can and can't do, and what they can and can't do, doesn't it make common sense that I would have to do it with as much clarity and as much confidence as possible so that the public can understand what I'm saying? What good is it if I put a disclaimer in a commercial ad that nobody can understand? Why bother? I'm supposed to let everybody know the guidelines that I'm operating under, the guidelines that the public is operating under, not to give them a line of gibberish that they can't get. I mean, this is radio, for crying out loud. Don't these commercial advertisers understand? I hear the Red Sox a lot, as you know, and they have a disclaimer almost on every game saying to the effect, any broadcast or rebroadcast of Red Sox baseball without the expressed written consent of the Red Sox and radio station WEEI is strictly prohibited. It is said slowly. It is said clearly. We understand what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. That is common sense. So that's my piece. Al, you can explain why you feel that these advertisers have to go 100 miles an hour and not let us understand what they're saying.
Well, first off, Bob, you're correct in everything you said, in my opinion. But there's a difference between what you're talking about and, say somebody announcing prior to a game and after a game that you can't broadcast or rebroadcast our broadcast without our permission.
It's still a disclaimer.
Right. But this is something that the Red Sox organization or that the media now, it's pretty much the same thing. I think the Red Sox pretty much own a portion, if not in their entirety, their media, most of their main media, flagship media channels. But these people want you to know that. They want you to understand that if you rebroadcast any portion of their game, they could come after you with liability suits. So they want you to know that. I think the ones that you're taking issue with and the ones that I think during a period of time where the federal government mandated that people must put out all information pertinent to whatever they're advertising. A lot of it out there that you'd hear on radio typically, and I haven't, by the way, been hearing it as much lately, or it's been slowed down to an intelligible level.
Not really.
Well, I
hear it a lot on the radio stations that I listen to.
So the things that I'm talking about, and Bob, let's clarify. Bob and I had a little email exchange going yesterday, and I pretty much attributed the fast-paced, high-speed stuff that goes after a commercial as it's a cat-and-mouse thing, I think. This is my opinion, that's going on between the federal government, the FCC, and others connected to it, and the people that they're mandating that they put in their disclaimers for. And what I'm talking about is basically tantamount to the fine print you read on the bottom of a contract. So if I'm advertising big loans, I'm a car company, and I'm going to get you the greatest loan in the world. It's going to be 0.00001% on your car. Just come down to my dealership and I'll sign you up and we'll get you into a car virtually interest-free. And then all of a sudden at the end of the commercial, Bobby, hear this, you know? And what that is, because I've actually tried to listen to this stuff, it's all the fine print that they don't want you to hear, but that the federal government is mandating that they get out there. So basically what I'm able to get from that zero interest ad is you have to have perfect credit in order to qualify for that 0%. If you miss one payment over an X amount of period of time during the loan, doesn't matter whether it's it just has to be one, your interest goes up to 29.5%. This is stuff that the federal government is telling these people to get out there, so they try and do it at such a fast speed that nobody cares to or could understand it.
Well, if I'm the federal government and if I want you to do this for the public and the public doesn't understand you, mm-hmm. what have I accomplished?
Nothing. So it's that's what I'm trying to say to you, Bob.
And it's a mute point.
It's cat and mouse. So what these people are doing is, okay, you want us to get this stuff out there? Fine, we'll get it out there. We're going to play it so fast that nobody can understand it. And then the federal government has to, or the FCC in this case, has to come back and say, whoa, 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 you guys got to slow that down. You know, we've had German Shepherd dogs in there, and they can't understand the stuff. You got to slow it down. So then they might bring it down to, instead of 24,000 words per second, they bring it down to maybe 23,999. So you know what I'm saying? So it's a back and forth, Bob.
Has there been an effort, to your knowledge, by the FCC to cut down on this stuff?
I think so, because I'll tell you, I haven't heard. I used to hear ads all the time that were purposely distorted and run so fast I couldn't understand them. This was back 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago when all this stuff started. It could have even been sooner. I have no idea. Of late, I must tell you, though, Bob, honestly, over the last 2 years, I've been able to, with a little bit of effort, understand every single portion of their ad. They're still being run at a fast speed, but I think they've been, generally speaking, I think they've been slowed down quite a bit.
I admire your hearing talents.
Well, I don't know about that, but all I can tell you is maybe it's just that I'm getting used to them, but I think that's what it is. People run these ads fast, Bob. Remember we did a podcast a few weeks ago regarding these pharmaceuticals. This is the same thing I'm talking about. At the end, they're advertising a product that's the greatest product in the world. It'll heal your stomach. It'll allow you to go to the bathroom once a day. It'll do this. It'll do that. And then at the end, you're talking about, but if you know, it could kill you, right?
Except the pharmaceuticals.
Those are the same disclaimers, Bob, that I'm talking about.
I know that, except for the fact that the pharmaceuticals make sure you get it. And we're scared blue because it's so clear.
Yep.
All the reasons we're not supposed to take these drugs.
Right, right.
Oh, they say it at the proper pace. They're good at this.
They have to. And I think that the federal government is probably, when it comes to a drug that could impinge upon your safety, but believe me, Bob, I'm telling you, if they could get away with running that at 24,000 words per minute, they would. Believe me. That's the difference between what you're talking about, and you hear the same thing you were referring to the Red Sox broadcasting, the fact that if you rebroadcast any portion of their game, they could go after you from a legal standpoint. They do the same thing on WEEI or on any radio talk show. When the opinions of the callers don't necessarily reflect our points of view. These are not our points of view. I mean, it's not exactly like, you could probably repeat it verbatim, word for word. But that's the same exact thing. They want you to hear that, so they keep it at a low pace.
So in other words, what you're saying in conclusion is there is a difference between the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, or the Pharmacy Administration, or the industry, and the federal government itself, where that the ads promoted by the pharmaceutical companies or the FDA allow themselves to speak slowly, where the federal government just says, do it and whatever, and then the advertisers will say it as fast as they want.
No, I don't. I'm not sure that I mean that, Bob. What I'm concluding here is the difference between a pharmaceutical ad and a car dealer promotion, when you get the fast-paced stuff at the end of a commercial. The reason why the car loan commercial disclaimer is played so fast is because they can speed it up. The FCC is not on their case to keep it slow. The pharmaceutical ads, believe me, Drexel or Pfizer or any of those guys want to run their disclaimer at the same speed that car loans can. But the federal government, because it could impinge potentially on one's health and safety, they're told that they have to slow it down. So the government's controlling both. It's just that the government is probably a heck of a lot tougher on the pharmaceutical guy than they are on the car loan guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
That's the difference.
Okay. I want to get to our next topic. Excuse me for one moment. I want to get to my next topic, which is Donald Trump and his tweets. A lot of people I've talked about this on talk shows. I've listened to it from time and time again, as far as, should our president of the United States, no matter who he is or who she is, should they be out there tweeting all the time? Now, I have a few schools of thought on this. First of all, we all know why Donald Trump is the president. He's the president because people are tired of the establishment politician. We know that. I think we also know that many people in this country want to say certain things about certain issues or certain people that we're reluctant to say, but Donald Trump can read our minds and can speak for us. And I believe he was successful at this, and that's why he got elected. People that were in Trump's corner would say, gee, Trump knows me pretty well. I would have said the same thing, but he had more nerve to say it than I would. So I'm going to vote for him because he speaks for me. Well, this leads me to the tweets. Now, maybe he's tweeting because we tweet and he wants to be part of us. He wants to be one of the crowd, one of the gang. He figures if we tweet all day long and express our wishes and our desires and our complaints, then maybe he should be with us and do the same thing. On the other hand, there are people out there who feel the president of the United States has a big responsibility in Washington. He shouldn't have time to be on the computer or on his smartphone tweeting away like a kid. So the president should be tweeting. So what are your thoughts?
Well, I think you're exactly right, Bob. First of all, when we're talking about the carriage of the president of the United States, let's look back to as far back as the early 1970s, the mid 1970s, when you and I were still teenagers growing up. Could even go as far back. I can remember Richard Nixon in 1968 a little bit, when one would say that president was acting really presidential. That president gave a really presidential speech. Excuse me. What that referred to, Bob, in my opinion, was back then the president was basically the leader of the free world. You couldn't get any higher in terms of single leadership position. So he had to act, because we haven't had any women yet. I'm going to say the word he for now. He had to act presidential. He had to be refined when he made speeches. He had to make sure that every word was concise, precisely articulated, and therefore he would at all times remain stoic and presidential. Well, then, I think Bill Clinton was probably the first president to come along to start to break the conventional mold of being presidential. He's maybe, you know, they had their little, like Jerry Ford would show that he could, you know, that he could ski a little bit, he could water ski a little bit. He was made fun of, poked fun of in a teasing way for being kind of clumsy. I know he fell on skis one time. There were a few different things. So this humanized presidents, I think, in the mid-70s after Richard Nixon. And I think, though, that Bill Clinton began the whole thing where he started to break the mold of presidents being able to say a little more and a little more and a little more. Well, then we get to Barack Obama 8 years ago. He kind of opened it up where in many of his policies, as his policies started to become more dynamic, expansive, and liberal, then he was talking more openly. He was doing things with stars in the White House. Nobody, you know, and I don't think anybody took a great exception to that, except maybe the most staunchly conservative folks probably looked at that a little bit askance. But most of us kind of accepted the fact that with each presidency now, as technology opens up, as everything expands, the presidents are becoming more and more human. They're becoming a little bit closer to what they want to represent their constituency by. So now we get to Donald Trump. And Bob, we're going to talk about Donald Trump a lot over the next, for as long as we do your podcasting, because Donald Trump, once again, is defining new parameters, new frontiers in terms of communication, especially for a president. He's laying bare so much, and that's what a lot of us who voted for him, he captured us months before we actually went out and pulled the lever on election day, because you, as you so succinctly put it, he represented the stream of consciousness that's been tamped down by political correctness before Barack Obama, by the way, for so long. That part of society that wants tradition back a little bit, that wants practical thinking from Washington back a little bit. Let's reintroduce some common sense when we go spending money, you know. And so Trump represented all this. The media hated it because he wasn't part of the PC establishment over many, many years. So then, of course, they got going with their, you know, diatribes against Donald Trump. Oh, Trump this, Trump that. And so the media wars began, and I think that's where Trump started his tweeting. Well, he began it before, Bob, but he really put it into high gear as his following base increased, and he just went off. The question I threw out to you last week was, should Donald Trump be tweeting? My answer is yes. Out of necessity, it's worked. He has laid bare and exposed so much goings on within the media. He has showed them for who most of them are, the mainstream media, I'm saying, the 90 to 95%, that the Harvard study that was published after his first 100 days said was overwhelmingly biased toward Donald Trump versus any other candidate. These are the people that Donald Trump takes exception to. Now, is he too thin-skinned? At times, absolutely. Should he be ignoring a lot of what the media is doing, a la Joe Scarborough and what's the his partner's name there, Bob? I keep forgetting now.
Well, anyway, I know who it is.
Yeah, it's a woman.
Think.
Okay, so yeah. the Morning Joe show, him and his partner, they're calling him psycho and everything. I mean, it's dirty, it's nasty, it's divisive. They're not the only ones doing it. I could give you a whole list of alphabet soup as far as media outlets that are constantly haranguing Donald Trump. If it isn't that they're trying to get him on collusion with Russia, if that when that's dispelled, they switch to a new narrative. Now it's obstruction of justice. That's changes, and now he's a Twitter monster. Mika Brzezinski, that's the woman with Joe Scarborough I'm trying to think of.
That's
so is Donald Trump at times going too far? Absolutely. What he has to do, he's got to keep tweeting because that's how he gets his agenda out there. Go to any one of these alphabet soup mainstream media people, Bob. Turn them on and try to find what Donald Trump has done the day before. You're going to be hard-pressed to find when he relaxes these regulations so that small businesses can get going. When he goes over to Europe and he talks to Vladimir Putin about trying to get a peace negotiation going with Syria, you're hardly going to find any good that Donald Trump has done. He's done a lot of good. So he's got to use Twitter in order to get his word out. Should he be tweeting when somebody in the media calls him a psycho? Absolutely not. He's got to learn how to become way more thick-skinned.
I agree with you. You know what I mean?
So he's just his. If I were Mr. Trump, President Trump, here's what I'd be doing. Before I shoot off this tweet, I'm going to ask myself this question. Is this tweet in any way going to interfere with what I'm trying to accomplish in making this country great again? And if the answer in any remote sense is yes, then don't tweet it.
The reason why I believe that Donald Trump should be tweeting, and I agree with you, the answer to the question of whether or not Donald Trump should be tweeting is yes, because this is the time that we live in today, okay?
Yep.
We live in a social media atmosphere, although sometimes the use of social media drives me nuts. I think it's abused a lot. I really do. But that's a subject for another day. Donald Trump is very well aware of the society that we live in. So he's going to use it to be a part of the big team, so to speak, part of us, part of the younger generation, part of as many people as he possibly can. And if it means that he has to tweet, then he has to tweet. But you're right. If the media starts slandering him or does a number on him and they turn out to be wrong about him, and they resort to name-calling. I've heard the names, too. Then you're right. Donald should relax, get a grip, and go from there.
You know what I'd like to see him do with Twitter, Bob? I'd like to see him with less expletives toward folks who call him names. I'd really love to see him completely turn that spigot off, although now I think, ironically, our trust level for the mainstream media is at an all-time low. It's down in the teens now, 17-18% of people think that the conventional mainstream media is trustworthy, that they're
reporting. Well, Donald Trump calls it fake news.
Fake and failing. Yep, fake news and the failing Times and CNN, the Clinton News Network, is what he's starting to refer to them now as. But my point here, Bob, is instead of poking fun at individuals, I would love to see Donald Trump start talking about tweeting now about his agenda items. So, for instance, I think the biggest thing that Washington is trying to get passed, that the White House is trying to get passed, is health care. So he should tweet out, like, for instance, Senator X or House Member Y is in the way of my trying to pass this bill because, and then come up with a factual reason why there's interference with why his bill is passing. I'm breaking it down in a very simple way, but I think you get the idea, Bob. if Trump would use Twitter with his whatever number of followers he's got, I heard 100,000, I'm not sure if that's true. The best way to do it is in a surgical, factual way in order to get people to contact their legislators and say, hey, because one of the complaints about Washington, Paul, one of the reasons that Donald Trump is there now is because we don't think Washington is capable of getting out of its own way.
Exactly.
Using Twitter surgically to get people to get behind their congressional and senatorial people to get things passed, that's the best way he could use Twitter.
And don't think that other candidates wouldn't resort to tweeting either if they
Correct.
Had to.
Correct. He's got a chance. And as the leader, as the biggest leader of the free world, Bob, Donald Trump has the ability to put a whole new mindset and stamp on tweeting. And if he does it right, people are, you know, he's going to go down. That'll be one more reason why he's going to become a very historic president.
Well, of course, that remains to be seen.
That's correct.
I support the tweeting. I don't tweet. I think a lot of the social media usage is a little bit out there, a little bit crazy. I think we should devote a show to social media and the abuse that it takes. But
sure.
We'll discuss that off the air at a production meeting. But guess what, Alan? It is just about that time.
And boy, did this one go fast, didn't it, Bob?
Well, a lot of our shows go fast.
Yeah, they do.
We talk a lot of in-depth, and this is what happens.
We certainly try.
So again, thank you for another In Perspective. We will be back next week. Before I close, let me give up my email address for people who want to write letters or make comments about what we talked about today or what we talk about in general. It's Branco, B-R-A-N-C-O, 182, at Verizon.net. I will repeat it again. Branco, B-R-A-N-C-O, 182, at Verizon.net. Send me your letters, and if they're short enough, we will read them on the air so that everybody knows how you feel about the subjects that Alan and I talk about on In Perspective. Al, have a blessed day.
You as well, Bob. You take care. Take
you
care,
too.
Everybody.